Tonight's readings invite us to consider the nature of faithfulness, especially during times of difficulty. What does it mean and what does it look like to just keep going through the motions in the best of sense? To be faithful in this world at times when life gets really, really tough. Last week, I spoke to the congregation at Holy Trinity in Pembroke about some of the beauties of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. And I told them last week that the earliest practitioners of our Christian faith, they decided that it was impossible to separate the traditions of the early church, of the early Jesus movement, from the traditions of the Hebrew people. When the Word becomes flesh, God becomes incarnate in the body of an infant Jewish boy. Jesus was a Jew. He was raised according to Jewish traditions and Jewish laws and Jewish customs. And tonight, we are invited to learn a little bit more about those traditions and laws and customs as we observe this somewhat odd feast day, the feast day of the presentation of the Lord. Now tonight we hear that Mary and Joseph have traveled. They've traveled from their humble accommodations in Bethlehem. Yes, they're still there, even though it's long past December 25th, they're still there. They've had to travel from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. And they've traveled to the second temple, or Herod's temple. Now wait a second, you might be asking yourself, didn't Mary and Joseph first flee to Egypt after the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem? What about all that stuff about King Herod and murdering babies? Well, yes, they do, but only in Matthew's gospel. Luke's gospel makes no mention of King Herod or of killing all of the firstborn males. It doesn't mention anything about the hurried flight of the Holy Family into Egypt after Joseph receives a vision in a dream. Instead, Luke gives us a different story. Luke tells us that when Jesus is 8 days old, he is circumcised according to Jewish tradition. And then after 40 days have passed, 40 days between now and Christmas, Joseph and Mary travel from Bethlehem to the temple at Jerusalem, as we hear tonight. Indeed, tonight we are reminded that each of the four canonical Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one gives us a slightly different account of Jesus' life story and widely varying accounts of his childhood. Childhood was thought of very differently in the ancient world. It wasn't something that was romanticized or idealized. That's really a product of something, you know, more recent history, the Victorian era. The Gospels of Mark and John, for that matter, make no mention of Jesus' childhood at all. It's as if it wasn't relevant to them. But Luke gives us this story of faithful Jewish parents. And in the first century, the temple was the epicenter of Jewish religious life. And it sat high up on the Temple Mount in the center of the city of Jerusalem, where today the beautiful golden Dome of the Rock sits. And the temple looked out over all of the ancient capital. And the whole city looked back towards the temple. It really was the center. And Jewish tradition held that 40 days after the birth of a child, women were required to complete a ritual of purification. This often, but not always, took place at the temple. Parents were also required to present their firstborn son to God in the temple. And that's the observance that we are commemorating tonight, the presentation of Jesus, the firstborn son, to the Lord. And this presentation was meant as a reminder of Israel's redemption during the time of Moses. During the time when God sent a plague against the Egyptians and all of the firstborn sons of Egypt were struck down, yet the Israelites were passed over. Hence the roots of this observance tonight. In Luke's account, Mary and Joseph really are the epitome of faithful Jews. First, they travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem in order to complete the Roman census. in keeping with their civic obligations. They are really good citizens. And then after 40 days have passed, they travel to Jerusalem so that Mary may be purified and Jesus presented to God in the temple in keeping with their religious obligations. And we have to remember that by this point in Luke's story, frankly, by this point in Mary and Joseph's story, they're wiped. They are utterly and totally wiped. They are exhausted. And Mary was almost 9 months pregnant. They made a nearly 20-kilometer journey. It's 20K from Nazareth to Bethlehem so that they could be registered for the census on a donkey. And now, 40 days later, as they are struggling with a newborn, they've made a 150-kilometer journey, likely on the same donkey, from Bethlehem to the temple at Jerusalem. They are pooped. And that's a subject that I fully expect we will be experts on by the end of this year. They are young parents, and they are absolutely pooped. And they're also incredibly poor. They are incredibly poor. And we know this because of the sacrifice that they offer when they present Jesus at the temple. Luke weaves this little bit of information into the text, but really our ears don't hear it as such. But to the first century, in the first century, it would have been a marker of poverty for sure. And that is that Mary and Joseph present a sacrifice of 2 turtle doves. Or 2 young pigeons. Now a couple, a Jewish couple of wealth and means, would have certainly sacrificed a lamb in honor of their firstborn son. A wealthy couple would have given the same gift that God gave to Abraham so that he would not have to kill his own son Isaac. Remember that? The story of Abraham and Isaac and the lamb being substituted in Isaac's place? Hence the sacrifice of the lamb. The very same lamb, the very same animal whose blood marked the doorposts of the Israelites so that God's plague against the Egyptians would pass over them in the story of the Exodus. A couple of means would have definitely offered a lamb, but instead Mary and Joseph offer the bare minimum. They offer the substitute sacrifice. And this was spelled out in Jewish law. It's still in the Bible today. Leviticus chapter 12. 2 turtle doves. This young couple is most definitely exhausted. And they are most definitely poor. That's the backdrop against which this feast day of the presentation is celebrated. It's often a big affair in many churches with the blessing of candles. It's sometimes called Candlemas. That's more of a 19th century or maybe even middle age tradition, a story for another day. But all that's to say, this couple is exhausted and they're incredibly poor. What does it mean and what does it look like to be faithful in this world when we are exhausted, when we are impoverished? At moments of fear, physical and spiritual poverty and exhaustion, at moments when all you can do, like Mary and Joseph, is just keep going through the motions, keep meeting your basic obligations. What does it mean and what does it look like to be faithful? I think there's a lot of grace in this story. There's a lot of grace in the story of the presentation, in Mary and Joseph's sheer determined just commitment to just keep going through the motions. The Romans tell them they need to register for a census in Joseph's home city. So what do? They get in a donkey and they travel 20K from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Jewish law says that Mary needs to be purified and Jesus needs to be presented. So what do? They get back on the very same donkey and they travel 150K from Bethlehem to the temple at Jerusalem. Yes, faithfulness and devotion is sometimes expressed in grandiose acts. Sometimes it's expressed with poetry and elation, with words like the ones that Simeon exclaims tonight in the famous words of the Nunc Dimittis, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word." But faithfulness can also be expressed in just trying to go through the motions, in just doing the bare minimum which we are able to do with God's help, as Mary and Joseph most definitely are tonight. Simeon would not have been able to sing that beautiful song, and Anna would not have been able to prophesy, had not Mary and Joseph first kept their basic commitment to just keep going through the motions and brought Jesus to the temple to be presented in the first place. Now, professional athletes, like the ones who are playing right now in the Super Bowl, they will tell you that some days it is a struggle just to keep going through the motions. And I suspect there are many of us in this church right now who are in some sense struggling to just keep going through the motions. That's a constant in our life together as a Christian community. It's a constant in our life together as human beings, whether it's because of illness or grief or poverty or the difficult circumstances being experienced by a loved one or a friend. Just going through the motions in and of itself can sometimes be difficult, can sometimes in and of itself be a great accomplishment. Because sometimes it can be tough to just take your head off the pillow in the morning and face the day ahead of you. And that's okay. God does not judge us for those feelings, my friends. God joins with us. God joins with us as we make our daily attempts, each in our own way, to just keep going through the motions. God joins us in our daily struggles. And more than that, God shows up for us in the middle of it all. God shows up especially in the love of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Just as God shows up tonight for this exhausted couple, Mary and Joseph, in the persons of Simeon and Anna. That's the important part, that we look for God showing up in the people around us. And more than that, that we be willing to be vulnerable with them and share our humanity with them. Think about it for a minute. Mary, this exhausted mother, doesn't know Simeon from Adam. He's a complete stranger. And yet, what does she do within the safety and sanctity of the temple? She hands her newborn son to this strange man. Talk about an act of vulnerability. Talk about an act of trust. We need to look for those people. We're all going to face mental and spiritual struggles at some point in our lives. That does not make us weak. That makes us human. That's an absolutely beautiful thing. Because God in Christ unfailingly joins with our humanity. God becomes for us our food for the journey. God, in this tiny infant boy who is presented today in the temple, says to us, "Stretch out your hands, my friends, and hold on to mine." You can see me, my little tiny infant thumb. I'm just reaching out. Grab on to my thumb. Grab on to my four tiny fingers. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. This is me right here in the middle of it all, being human and vulnerable with you. That, my friends, is what keeps us going. Amen.